Do you guys like free things? Because I absolutely love free things. Do you want to know what's for free? Downloading the Himalaya app. It is 100% for free. And it's awesome because they will curate a library of podcasts made especially just for you. How incredible and special does that feel? I love feeling special and I love free things. Download the Himalaya app to listen to my podcast, Fish Cheeks. Today we sit down with my dear, dear, funny friend, Sherry Kola. She's an actor on Good Trouble. She's a stand-up comedian, and she's going to be starring in E! Network's newest comedy dance show. Basically, Sherry Kola is killing it, and she is so funny. So you must listen because she's cracking jokes every 3 seconds. She is so funny. We both grew up in a small town called Arcadia, and we would both hang out at the boba shop together in high school. And that is how I know her. And I'm just so, so proud of her. She is so funny, so kind, and she's really bringing the Asian American community in Hollywood together. So I hope you guys enjoy.
So I haven't put my headphones on because I'm wearing a hat and I'm just like...
Okay, so why don't...
What if I... No, that's not going to happen. Right here.
Yeah, right there. That's good. You look, you're like a doctor.
Really, I guess I'm going to take it off. Here it goes.
Well, don't look at her hair. She's
real me.
Bald.
It is so greasy. Like, literally,
but
seagulls are pissed. Because
you were also hosting a huge, awesome party last night. That's why your hair is greasy.
Right.
Yeah.
Whoa, yelling. Yeah, I hosted the Variety's Power of Young Hollywood event yesterday. Did. Yeah.
Also, let me just intro this podcast right now. It's Fish Cheeks, and we're here with my fucking awesome friend, Sherry.
What it do? Sherry Kola, 626 for life. We have our matcha lattes just to stay on brand.
So on brand.
In case anyone is confused, we are Asian. Yeah, it was dope. I mean, I was... introducing Cole Sprouse, Camila Cabello, Stephon James, Chloe and Halle. And I was like, what did I do to, like, end up on this stage?
Wait, who do you think, who do you think gave you, like, the best vibes?
Oh, all of them were so dope. I mean, it really was such a beautiful event because looking around, like, I really had faith in kind of the future of Hollywood, especially because now we're, you know, so just... aware and like woke, if you will, you know what I mean? I feel like we're just surrounded by
wokeness.
You know, yeah, the future of the youth that, you know, fights for what's right and, you know, just self-expression, all that good stuff, you know.
Can you tell me a joke that you did on stage with one of them?
I was literally like drunk auntie at the club because I'm not like old or anything, but all these are like
they're young.
Early 20, if not some teenagers, you know, who are thriving and killing it. And I was just up there hosting. And one thing I did say was to Camila, I said, can I hop on a remix? And I literally sang on stage. I love it when you feed me papas fritas. Maybe like two people laughed. But that's enough for me.
Did she laugh?
She's a good sport. Yeah, she was down for it. I actually have met her before in the Amp Radio days, you know?
Oh, this music, is like, right.
But I didn't bring it up because she probably doesn't remember.
But that's where you come from, radio.
I dabbled. Dabbled in the radio, Amp Radio 97.1 FM. That's my roots.
This is the backstory. So Sherry and I grew up in the 626.
626.
And I've known her since I was 16.
No way.
Yeah, I was 16 when
I met you. Well, because I'm like 3 years older than you, I think.
I thought you were like so cool. Because like, no, you were. You hung out with the cool SGV people. SGV stands for San Gabriel Valley. After school, I would go to this boba shop.
T-Bar.
T-Bar Starry. And we would, I would do my homework there. And I would see Sherry hanging out with like the cooler, older
Asians.
Really. You guys had cool cars and like.
I guess. I mean, it was such an interesting culture, and it still is, you know, the whole boba shops and just kind of fixed up cars. And
yeah.
I mean, it's such an interesting culture, and I really hope to actually make something that shows that lens, you know, because SGV is so specific. 626 is, I mean, even just watching a show like Euphoria, which I'm obsessed with.
Me too.
But I feel like, okay, it's missing an Asian character. You know what I mean? Because for me, like, growing up, all I knew was Asian drug dealers, Asian promiscuous girls, Asian athletes, Asian gangsters. You know what I mean? Like that Asian teenage rebellion exists beyond belief.
Yeah.
And I would love to see that on television one day. But anyway.
But that's, but you knew, you were like so cool with these Asian promiscuous.
Yeah, you,
in my eyes, through my little 16-year-old eyes, I was like, she like is homies with these like ABGs, Asian baby girls, but yet she's not one.
Sure. I mean, I.
But you were like cool.
Well, but that's the thing. I never really thought I've quote unquote fit in. And still, it's like, I'm still trying to find my place, if you will, you know, because I never considered myself like hot, you know what I mean? Like that whole ABG category mm-hmm. of like, you know, girls who were always dolled up, if mm-hmm, you will, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like Louis bag under under mm-hmm. the armpit. Like, you know, I never fell into that category, and I was just always the person with like hot friends. You know, I had to gamble on my personality. You know?
I would never talk to anyone there because I was too like timid. Like these girls had like straight like blonde black hair like a raccoon.
It looked like a caramel macchiato.
Yeah, it was like, it was like a chai latte going up. Like it was, but like you were not like that. So you were the first one that I like would, I don't know, you just seemed really happy and fun. And I remember we started talking and like you gave me always like older sister vibes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That actually means a lot because something that I hope to carry on until I die is the accessible and like open arms aspect, you know, because even, you know, not to like toot my own horn, whatever, but I have gotten.
You're like, successful.
No, not that. But people really tell me that I make them comfortable. And like,
you really do.
You know, like loosen them up, like emotionally, I guess.
No, you did. And I think that has carried on till now, and you have not changed because I will never forget you were down to like be weird with me because so weird.
Oh, dude, that's the thing. Okay, I have literally the memory of the first time we interacted because you had friends who like we had mutual friends. You know, obviously that's why we ended up at the same boba shop because it's like Tinder. You're not there unless you have mutual friends. So I remember we were throwing a stuffed animal back and forth. For no reason, in the middle of a restaurant.
I don't even remember this.
Because, like, that's what I remember. And I remember also thinking you were very, like, not the typical, like, you know, you were wild and kind of, you know, is the word quirky still a thing? But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we were both, like, so
quirky.
Weird.
We were both weird in this, like, very specific group.
Totally.
Community.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were, like, kind of, like, outsiders within this subgroup of Asian,
in a sense. I don't know, it's like I mean you know, which makes sense why we ended up doing what we're doing, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure, but it's yeah, we were just kind of, I don't know, it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
Truthfully, it's hard to explain because 626, as much as I'm, you know, I mean, it's my heart, you know, that's where I grew mm-hmm. up. It is quite a bubble.
Yeah.
You know, and like even when I went to college, I was so surprised that, oh, someone's phone number didn't start with 626.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, okay, there's more out there. And the more I see the world, you know, and I still haven't even seen the world that much, to be honest. You know, I'm still kind of LA County for the most part. I go some places, but I haven't explored that much, you know. But
it's still different because I remember like 626 was such a small bubble, and then you'd come to LA and then you're like, oh man, not everyone is Asian.
Oh yeah, even sometimes when I meet Asian people, I always ask them where they're from, as if like,
me too.
Yeah, because I'm like, it must be Rosemead.
Rosemead Temple City,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's still like, oh, there's Asian people who grow up elsewhere. Okay, I need to remember that. It's very interesting because, you know, that's all we knew for so long. But I'm definitely, you know, Temple City and just 626 will always be home.
Me too. Yeah. My mom lives there. Your
yeah,
mom
same.
Lives there.
Yeah.
We have very similar, like,
yeah.
Our dads really weren't in our childhood.
Sure.
Raised by my boss ass mom. Crazy.
Right. My mom
Your mom is.
Yeah. I mean, they're both gorgeous, too.
They're
like,
beautiful.
I'm just trying to keep up. My mom is like a size 2, and like, you know what I mean? Like, when we take pictures together, I'm like trying to distance.
My mom is so beautiful, and so is your mom. They're so young looking, but they work so hard.
Right. That's what's insane.
Yeah.
Porcelain skin.
Yeah.
But hands of a carpenter. No, real talk though, my mom actually does have, it makes me kind of sad. Well, my mom owns a restaurant.
Yeah.
So like she obviously always has like cuts and like burns. It's really sad and like really just a reminder of like how hardworking she is, you know, because it genuinely was this like self-made situation where when we immigrated to the U.S., like, she worked at a restaurant in St. Gabriel and for, like, 7 years. And then she finally, like, my parents saved up enough money to open a restaurant of their own. And then it's just always been this very, like, you know, a working from day to night situation, you know, just to provide for me. Like, my mom has, that was always her goal. Like, I was always her priority, you know what I mean? So to see her kind of really proud now of what I'm doing and all that stuff means a lot. I just hope to one day, you know, give back. Hopefully, you know, go on vacation and take her somewhere nice that we've never been. So, yeah, but our moms.
I always think it's like, because, you know, we ended up in entertainment, which is a very rocky path. And you never know, you know, you can find success for a moment and then it's gone. And were you scared and nervous about this?
Absolutely. I mean, well, the thing is, I don't know, it was interesting and I was lucky enough. We're really lucky that we have our moms close by and we're from close by because I know a lot of people obviously that moved from Iowa, you know what I mean? And had to like pay that rent and stuff. Yeah. Like I didn't move out of my mom's house until like 3 years ago. You know what I mean? So like I kind of had that. And while I was figuring it out, like working minimum wage at the radio station and slowly climbing up to being on air and finally getting like that first TV gig. And luckily my rent right now, I live with two roommates still. Like I'm very just like cautious still and like thrifty when it comes to that. Yeah. I haven't actually moved out or gotten an expensive place or whatever because I'm just like, okay, let me chill. You know what I mean?
But yeah, it's just always like, you know, we see our parents work so hard.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, I want to provide.
Totally.
I feel like our moms are all so supportive of what we do and what we chose.
Right.
And they just like believe in us so much that.
Well, I think it's just cool. You're an only child?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I mean, for my mom, it's interesting because all of my mom's friends are already grandparents right now. Mm. And like, that's something she's always wanted. You know, my mom, as supportive as she is, you know, of my dreams, she still has that mentality of a woman is supposed to, you know, get married and have kids, you know what I mean? Like be a mother and all that stuff. And that's definitely something maybe I want to do in life, you know, but like when, you know, so like right now I'm doing this, but my point is like her friends are saying like, yo, your daughter is like, so different. Like she is so unique. She's doing something that everyone else didn't do.
Yeah.
You know, all our kids are just living like, you know what I mean? So I don't know. It's just like,
Was there a hesitation in you when you decided that you wanted to pursue radio?
I mean, absolutely. Because, you know, even in the beginning, like the reason why I only really fully started, I mean, I was in college for like 7 years. I was just like partying and like not having my crap together, you know what I mean? Like legitimately, it was like Cal State Fullerton. It wasn't even like a PhD, but I was there for like so long. But that's when I found radio, you know? But at the same time, I also wanted to do stand up. And I remember going to the improv and putting my name in the pot, but like never got picked. So I kind of just procrastinated and just, you know, kind of, there was also a little bit of fear, sure, you know, but so I finally just decided, okay, radio, that's how I'm going to broadcast my personality, you know, that's what I'm choosing. At the same time, also kind of wanted to be a rapper, you know, so through life and all that stuff, things kind of came together. When I graduated, I got a job on a street team, like literally bottom of the barrel of Amp Radio.
Is that what it is, a street team is?
Yeah. I mean, putting up tents at a Metro PCS. You know what I mean? Like that is how you get your foot in the door of radio, essentially. Then like while I was there for a few years, everything happened where I, you know, started doing stand up. I did Lil Tasty and that blew up.
I love Lil Tasty. I was showing all my friends Lil Tasty.
I mean, I'm trying to keep her alive. You know, I have some stuff up my sleeve. We'll see.
I remember, like, she was driving that Uber.
Yeah, the Luber. Yeah,
the Luber. Yeah, yeah. It's so funny. And, like, so did that come first or the stand-up?
So, basically, I was still on Amp Radio. And at this time, I never really professionally acted or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I was just, I mean, the thing is, it's like I look back on high school and stuff. And, like, I always had these dreams. I always, you know, one of my passions was always comedy and making people laugh. And I would host talent shows in high school. I would make funny videos in high school. But that never felt like a possibility for Endgame. You know what I mean? And I don't know if it was truly the lack of representation where, you know, and even being an immigrant, I almost had this thought that, oh, TV and movies, that's for Americans. You know what I mean? Like, that's not my place. Or that is too unfeasible. You know, even with trying to be a rapper, to be honest, like, I'm so passionate about hip-hop. I've been writing rap since I was in sixth grade. Like, you know, seeing Jin on like 106 in Park, like that felt like something I wanted to do. But then at the same time, I'm like, well, would I be wasting my time? Because is the industry going to take, you know, a female Asian rapper seriously? You know what I mean? So there were so many thoughts. And of course, that goes to lack of representation because I never saw it. I didn't think it was possible. I don't know, you know, but better late than never. So, so Lil Tasty, it was my friends Adam and Rick who... Like, they were just making a web series that they were going to put on Facebook called Luber. And it was Lyft and Uber, like a parody situation where there's characters who drive and all that stuff. They were like, oh, you should do a character. You should be one of the drivers. And at that time, I didn't really even, like, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I was still at the radio station. That was my goal. And I was like, oh, sure, why not? Whatever.
You wanted to be Ryan Seacrest.
I wanted to be... You know, Carson Daly. Shout out Carson Daly, who I ended up working with at AMP. So that was cool.
I remember, and I was really proud of you because I literally remember this moment. I was at my office. I have an office. I don't have an office. And then, like, you posted something about you and Carson Daly doing, like, a morning show together, a segment.
Right.
And I was so proud of you. I sent it to my friend Lily Chen, who also hung out at the boba shops.
Yeah, I think I know who that is.
And so I was like, dude, it's Sherry. Like, look at this. Like, this is amazing. And then I was showing my friends Lil Tasty at work at Smosh. Like, I was, because, you know, like, you don't meet a lot of people in the 626 San Gabriel Valley that come and break into entertainment and, you know, representing us. Right. So I was literally so proud of you.
Thank you, boo. Seriously.
And then you stopped doing the Carson Daly thing. I'm like, all right.
Well, it's insane because, like, the more, like, when I did that, what, like, 10-minute even less segment for the first time on Carson Daly in the morning show, that felt like, oh, I made it.
So
like,
cool.
You know what I mean? Like, that felt like, oh, this is it. Then, like, Lil Tasty, well, actually, that was before. Lil Tasty went viral. Like, a million views in 24 hours. For someone who's never gotten that, it was a big deal,
you
know?
It was a huge deal.
And so that was like, oh, wow, I made it. And, like, just things kept happening where I was like, oh, no, now I made it. Oh, no, now I made it. And, like, I hope to keep... Because I'm still sitting here like I'm no one. You know what I mean? I'm still at level one, like the baby steps. You know, I'm very much like, I know it's not overnight, you know? And I feel like I've already gotten a lot of lucky opportunities, you know, in the last 3 years. And like, you know, it's just, I hope to keep like being, you know, I hope to keep making the community proud. And of course, surprising myself of what I'm capable of. You know what I mean? Just like, oh, no. I made it. No, I haven't made it because now I made it. No. This is because it's so weird. The more you accomplish, the more you realize what's possible. Like all I wanted to do was radio. I didn't want to even show my face. Like what?
Really?
You know what I mean?
So how did you even like decide you wanted to get into acting and like?
Well, I mean, I guess it's because I didn't think it was possible.
Right.
It was almost like, you know, and no disrespect to radio. Of course, I love it. I love hosting. I love that aspect of it, you know, highlighting new music and all that good stuff, interviewing people. Like, I still love that, and I still want to go back to that in life. But I feel like I almost decided, okay, that's the goal because nothing else is possible. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, let me not settle, but you know what I mean? Let me just do radio. That's what I literally said to myself. Let me just do radio. You know what I mean? And, like...
The unexpected.
Right, because I didn't expect... Yeah, and then so, of course, like, I got really lucky because my friend from college, Colin, who, as a college job, he happened to be the general manager of the radio station. So, like, of my campus radio station. I'm sorry, that I did college radio. So then that kind of gave me the experience, like, 3 years of whatever, and I was just like, okay, this is it. Anyway, so my friend from college, Colin... He is a talent manager. Who knew, you know? So when he saw me doing Lil Tasty and doing stand-up, he was like, yo, hell yeah.
Hilarious.
And he always believed in me and thought I was really funny. So we kind of just decided to make stuff happen and, you know, cut to now. So I did get really lucky. I feel like, you know, knowing him, he definitely opened a lot of doors and connected a lot of people. So
with stand-up and stuff, like I haven't seen a show of yours when I really, really want to see, but how do you come up with, you know, your set and... What's going on? Like, how do you come up with these things that you say?
I mean, it's interesting. Like, it's very everyday stuff. You know, like, all of your favorite comedians, they just have relatable things or they have stuff that make you want to think. You know, like, for example, you know, I was just trying to write this bit about how, you know, being asked to be a bridesmaid is like getting freaking, like, serving on jury duty. You know what I mean? Because I'm just like, oh.
Wait, you don't want to be a bridesmaid?
No, I'm not into it at all. But like little things like that, like things that I dread, I'm like, God, it's like asking to be to serve on jury duty is like, what's worse, that or being a bridesmaid, you know? Things like that, that like, you know, I feel like in my comedy, I do a lot of comparing. I don't know. I also have some bits about like my mom being the Chinese Beyonce.
Mom sings and like she married Jay-Z.
No, just... You have to come see. I'm not gonna spoil the bits.
I know you invited me before, but now I have more time because I don't really have a life right now. So I'm
all over. Laugh Factory, August 19th. I don't know when August this is 19th? Coming out. Yeah, Monday, 7:45. We'll be 19th. In touch. Yeah.
I'll be there.
Yeah, that's like tomorrow. I have this I make fun about I make fun of EDM, like just little random stuff.
God, EDM sucks.
Whatever comes up, whatever comes to mind, it's not. That's the thing, too, and I'm still, you know, once again, I've only been doing stand-up officially for, like, 3 years-ish, you know, so I'm still trying to find my voice of, like, you know, what exactly is my lane. Right now, it's a little bit of everything, you know, which is how I like it, you know what I mean, just to have kind of a range.
Do you ever get nervous?
Oh, absolutely.
Really? Like, what do you do when you're nervous?
Breathe, like, call my mom and say, Busa poyu.
Yeah.
Tell my mom to pray to Buddha. Mm-hmm. That's literally
Pusa what I
bao
do. Yo.
Yeah. So, and you know, I'm really superstitious, so I have to do it each time.
Wait, what do you do each time you call your mom?
Call my mom or either a voice note on WeChat. Shout out to WeChat. This, you know WeChat?
Yeah, I love
this
WeChat.
This podcast is sponsored by WeChat.
WeChat, what's up? Dude, what's good, WeChat?
So, yeah, I'll just say I'm about to go on stage or I'm about to host something. It's a big deal. I hope these people like me. It'll open doors. Pray to Buddha.
Pray to Buddha.
You know what I mean?
What does like your mom say back?
She's like, you're going to kill it. Praying. There's no way you're not going to do good. You know, aww. Just like,
your mom is so cute.
She's adorable.
My mom calls me all the time, too. But.
Oh, yeah. It's so interesting because, like, I don't know if our moms know that we talk to them more than other people talk to their moms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We do. I literally called my mom today. We spent 15 minutes on the phone talking about jiaojiaomian.
Oh, wait, which one's that?
It's like the, you know, the noodles with the soybean paste.
Wait, I've never had it, but I watch a lot of ASMR.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I watch a lot of mukbangs.
Me too.
We should do one.
We should do. Oh, my God. You know I'm down.
We have to write that down. Wait, I have this whole list of, oh, wait, okay, so lactose intolerant. Okay, wait, you're drinking. I wrote on a post-it of what the things I wanted to talk about because I'm slowly realizing that I might be lactose intolerant.
Yeah, we're Asian. We are.
But I never was.
I'm not.
That, it'll get you. It's creeping up. Boo.
3 years later.
Yeah.
I'm shitting out of my.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I never really drank milk when I was young.
Yeah.
I actually have this memory that. Sometimes don't you feel like memories might be dreams and like you made it up in your head? But this is a memory that I have that scarred me for life. When I was in kindergarten, right when I came to the U.S., I went to Alhambra. Mm-hmm. That's where I spent like my first few American years. and I went to this like Christian kindergarten, I guess. It was just down the street. Wait, Miss Judy?
No, not Miss Judy.
Miss Judy. And like, you know, we have lunch together and like there's a big carton, like this big gallon of milk, and I remember just because maybe I didn't understand American customs, I took the entire gallon and I put it to my mouth and I just started chugging, drinking out of the freaking plastic bottle, and then I got in trouble and the teacher literally forced me to drink the whole thing. I swear.
No, that's child abuse.
I don't know. And then I threw up. And then that's a memory that I have, and I'm pretty sure that's why I never drank milk, because I was scarred. I don't know.
Wait, so you're saying you didn't know the customs, so you took the giant gallon milk, you put it on your little mouth, and you started drinking it. And
chugging.
Then
and they lifted my legs like a keg stand.
Hazing you.
Yeah, it was like the principal from Matilda, like vibes.
Eat the cake.
I don't know what, that's a memory that I distinctly have.
Wait, why would they make you chug it?
I don't know, because, like, to teach me a lesson, because, oh, you want to put your germs on the freaking carton, then drink the whole thing, bitch, you know?
So you had to drink the, and did you tell your mom about this?
Yeah, recently, but we don't know if it's a real memory or not. I have so many memories. Is this that, like
I don't know, because it seems really abusive.
I don't know. How will we ever know?
You gotta call up Miss Judy.
Miss Judy.
Did you do this to me, Miss Judy?
I have no idea. I don't even know how to hit her up.
But like that's like me too. Like my first few years was spent in, I think, El Monte at a Christian kindergarten.
I think that's all they had was Christian kindergarten.
And honestly, I did a lot of weird things. Like, right. I remember this memory is, man, I have so many memories of this Christian kindergarten. They were weird.
Yeah.
I ate soap. Like,
why'd you eat soap?
I don't know. Like, everyone, you know, they were, you know, they were dispensing soap and then you'd wash your hands and I would just eat it. It wasn't because I just came to,
right,
to
no, I did a whole bunch of weird stuff.
I did a whole bunch of weird stuff. But, like, speaking of, like, American customs and
right. Well, you just went with what you knew. I mean, or what you don't know. I don't know. Because I remember even, like, I remember the first time I saw the middle finger. Like, so the first apartment that we landed in Alhambra, there were these neighbors, these teenage, I don't know. My memory is that they were probably teenagers and I was, like, you know, six. And I was always trying to hang out with them or just seeing what they're up to, literally. So one day they flipped me off and I was like, huh, what is that? Aww. Like, I wasn't sure, you know, because it was like not the fist. It was like an extension. It was the middle. I don't know. So then I ended up doing it to my mom's coworker and my mom like dragged me to like, because she worked at a restaurant.
She knew what that meant.
No, she didn't. But the friends, the employees, her coworkers told her, you know, that it's a bad thing, you know. And like, I remember my mom spanking me this big like, a refrigerator. Walk-in refrigator.
She
I don't
put
know.
You in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
You seem like, you know, you had to chug milk and then you had to get in the refrigerator.
We were tortured as children.
Dude, I one time my mom, I remember this, I didn't wear a seatbelt and this was at the Christian kindergarten.
Right.
After school, she picked me up and I wasn't in the car seat and I was looking backwards and then she like hit the brakes on her car and then I fell forward and I like bruised up my entire face and she was like and she goes, Olivia, tomorrow at school they're gonna ask you what happened to your face. You have to say that you fell off the swings or else they're gonna take you back to China because they think your mom is abusing you. I was so scared because they asked me what happened and I was like I fell off the swings. And then because I was afraid that my mom was like, if they find out, like, I know I didn't hit you, but if anything like that happened, like, they're going to, like, give us a hard time with our green card.
Oh, that was always a fear of, like, going back to China, like, for, like, somehow getting our parents in trouble. And then we mess it up for everyone and we all have to go back to China.
Yeah.
Because, okay, so my cousin and I grew up with her a little bit when I was younger. She's, like, a year under younger than me. But we would always stay home alone, which was illegal.
Illegal,
back then.
Yeah.
But was it? Or is it just what our parents said? I don't know. But we would be home alone all the time. And one of my classmates was my neighbor and would always knock on my door because she wanted to go rollerblading. And legit, I would have to like, shh. I would have to like put my hand over my cousin's mouth. Shh. Like some like horror film because I'm like, they can't know that we're home alone. And literally one time I opened up the blinds. It was my friend Mallory. I opened up the blinds and then Mallory saw me and I was like, and the next day at school, she's like, hey, like I knocked on your door and I saw you. Why didn't you open the door? And I was like, oh, what? Really? What?
Okay. Last story. That's literally similar like this. It's so similar. After school, I went to an after school program that would take me back home, but my mom was still at work. So nobody was at home. So Mr. George, who was driving the bus, would have to watch each kid walk into their door.
Uh-huh.
Right. So then I would pretend he would watch me and I would pretend I'm getting out a key and like slowly opening up the door, even though this key didn't work because my mom never gave me a key. She didn't trust me.
Wait. Okay, tell me more.
And then as I'm doing that, I'm like, bye, Mr. George. And he would be driving out. And then I would go to the side garage and I would just sit there in the dark and wait for my mom because I couldn't be alone. Like, they all thought my mom was at home. I was being chaperoned. I wasn't. Like, it was just like, I would sit in the dark for 2 hours until my mom came home.
It is the
I would hide.
I mean, what? I never did that. I don't remember having a key. I don't remember anything, actually, that part of it. I don't remember the logistics of, like, how I got in. But I was home alone all the freaking time.
Yeah, me too. And my mom was like, do not tell anyone.
Wait, but why didn't she just give you a key? Like,
because she didn't trust. She probably thought I was going to lose the key somewhere.
So you just sat and, like, did your homework outside?
No, there was no electricity. It was dark in this garage. So I just sat there. There was a chair by the door. I remember there was no bathroom.
The struggle is so real.
There was no bathroom, so I'd have to go to the backyard and pee.
The struggle is unbelievable.
Dude,
I can't.
Nobody else, like none of the white kids at my school, like dealt with this.
Oh, absolutely. It is so niche.
Did your mom ever pick you up very late from school?
Oh, here's the thing. Because my parents like worked all the time. So yeah, they would have like, did you go to ACI?
Oh my God, yes.
Also, I went to ACI and like there is no take home service at all, but somehow they convinced someone to take me home every day.
Me
because
too.
Because they couldn't.
Me too. My friend Heidi Lam, her aunt would take me home every night.
Like yeah.
It was so weird. At like That's what so point did they communicate? Like, why do they trust them to take me home?
I just follow you on Instagram and I watch everything that you do. And recently you were in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
For a movie. You were doing a movie.
Doing a movie, really dope indie, and hopefully the world gets to see it. I'm thinking they will. It's Nina Dobrev is in it, and she's so funny. It's so funny because, yeah, we had such a good time. It was Nina Dobrev, Haley Magnus, and Stephanie Koenig, and it was the three of us. Four of us. As just like it's a friendship comedy that has little twists and turns, but it's really. I mean. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which I've never been. But surprisingly, I actually really enjoyed the area. Like, there were, like, hip restaurants and, like, cute coffee places, murals. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it—I don't know. I underestimate a small town.
I would not—you know, I
You feel me?
Oklahoma has a lot of drugs. A lot of crack.
I mean, I definitely saw some people with missing teeth, but I didn't look directly at them. I mean, we were staying at a casino, and people were, like, holding babies while smoking cigarettes.
You stayed at a casino?
Yeah, it was like a hotel casino situation.
Oh, awesome.
But in the little small town, it actually reminded me of like, I've been to a few small towns like Marfa and like Petaluma.
Where
like,
is that?
Even New Orleans a little bit. Like it had these little nice little pockets of, you know, just, I don't know, character, if you will. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was cool, Tulsa. But the movie itself is called Sick Girl. And it was really dope, honestly. Wendy McLendon Covey's mm-hmm. also in it.
Love
so
her.
Working with her was cool. But yeah, hopefully it's really cool because Nina Dobrev, I remember watching her on Degrassi, like when she was like 15 and maybe when I was like 15 as well. So we established that I'm in love with Drake. You know what I mean? And she knows Drake. She literally knows Drake.
So like, were they like, did she tell him?
No, I don't know. She took a picture of my phone case because literally I have Drake on my phone case. I don't know where my phone is.
And then she texted him?
No, I don't know if she did, but she was like, wait, is that Drake? And I was like, oh, shoot, yeah. On my phone case. And
wait,
you know
can you
him.
Imagine? This is how the love
this
story
is the,
begins.
The 6 degrees or what is it called?
6 degrees
Something
of
like
separation.
Baby steps. Baby steps.
But the reason why I ask you is because you also had, this is like a nightmare situation for me, but you had a root canal when you
oh
were
Oh my goodness. I actually forgot. It was a fast paced experience. Like we had like 2 weeks. We shot this movie in like 2 weeks. And we had... I don't know if this is kind of a spoiler, but there was like a fight scene, okay? And I don't know what happened. We were kind of doing our own stunts. Obviously, it was choreography. It wasn't actually I was getting hit, mm-hmm. but I kind of have this like weird lockjaw situation. So like the fake throwing around, I don't know what happened, but my tooth got triggered somehow. Like
what happened?
I don't know what was going on. And like the next day I was like, wait, why is my jaw weird? Like this tooth is acting up. Like, and then the pain was just unbearable. 2 days in, I was like, okay, we have a day off. I'm going to go to this random
How
dentist.
How did you find this?
Like, so one of our hair chicks, actually, her friend is a dentist.
Oh.
So she like snuck me in, got an appointment the next day, which was dope. And I freaking got a root canal. There was actually an infection and it was like bad news. It was like not cute.
Wait, because of this? Like,
no, it was already a thing and I somehow it just triggered it. I don't know. The nerve. I don't know.
Do I have a root canal right now that I don't know?
Maybe.
That's something that I'm literally so fearful of when you're not home, you're somewhere else working and you get a fucking root canal. Like,
I never would have expected that.
I don't like, and then so you just trusted this dentist?
Yeah.
And you're like,
I was kind of, I'm like literally the poster child for throw money at the problem. I literally like was just in so much pain. I'm like, you know what?
I would too.
Just take it out. Take out the
because
nerve.
You had to work the next.
Right. It was truly unbearable. Like I had Orajel, which now I think I'm addicted to.
I use Orajel too.
You know what I mean?
Minty good numbness in your mouth.
I love it.
It's great.
Just to feel something, you know? But yeah, overall, look out for Sick Girl. Look out for, what else is coming up?
Okay. Well, also,
so many things.
I feel like when the big thing that, you know, you're on right now is
Good Trouble. On Freeform. Shout out. I'm
Alice Kwan.
Honestly, so grateful. Literally, like, it's a dope story and kind of this perspective that I never saw growing up, you know? I mean, it's a queer, Asian, first generation, you know, and she isn't out to her parents. And there's like these scenes where she's going through these bizarre lengths to just hide herself, hide who she truly is from her mom and dad. And I feel like that's relatable across the board because it's not just Asians, but, you know, immigrant families or maybe mm-hmm. closed-minded families or I don't know what it is. But, you know, I never really talked about dating when I was growing up, you know, alone sexuality. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was just something that I don't know. And I don't know why because... Well, one time, one of my friends, Peter, came to my house in seventh grade just to hang out, and my neighbors told on me, and I got in trouble. So, like, that little thing is like, okay, no boys. Oh, my God, okay, no boys. Then, you know what I mean? Like, so maybe that's why, because I thought maybe I would get in trouble if I date. I don't really know. But
it's so weird. It's like you get in trouble. Like, it's like...
It's so weird.
Yeah, whereas, like, maybe outside of our culture, people are just... 13 years old and going on dates. Like my mom would never have let me. I don't know why. It was like not shameful, but it was like I would get in trouble if they found out that I was hanging out with a boy or a boy was over at my house. You know?
Yeah, but is it because they didn't want us to focus on anything but school? Because that's something I've heard my mom say, especially to like my little cousin, mm-hmm. like, oh, get your degree first, get a job first, then get a girlfriend. Like, what? What order is that? Like, that's like, so like, you know, because they're still stuck on, oh, you meet one person and that's the one. You know what I mean? It's not that easy, you know?
Or is it like, because, you know, when you go to China, you go to Asia, you don't really see PDA on the streets.
Sure. It's
kind of like, I never really saw my parents kiss or hug. So it's kind of like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's interesting. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just, but it was weird because I actually did have a boyfriend senior year of high school, and I remember it was this whole thing where like I didn't like dancing, or like I was so self-conscious about dancing that I didn't want to go to prom. It was like people just knew Sherry doesn't want to go to prom, so he didn't ask me. We just ended up hanging out that night. Mm-hmm. But I remember that day my mom was like, hey, isn't there like a dance? Uh-huh. Like I guess she heard from someone else, and I was like, oh yeah, I didn't go. And she was like, oh, how come you didn't go? So I was like, and I remember in that moment thinking, oh, so it's fine if I go to these things with boys? Wait, what are the rules? I guess it was just so unspoken that it was just cut to I'm 29 and literally, you know what I mean, has never really been talked about. So
do you talk about it now with your mom?
Now I talk about it a little bit. I mean, just the idea alone, you know, just like identifying as, you know, bisexual. That's something that I ended up having a conversation with her when I booked Alice, because I mean, I had to just like live my truth, at least with my mom, you know what I mean? Like, because she's so proud of, you know, what I'm doing right now and all the acting and just like little things like that. I wanted her to be aware of what's happening and the conversations that's going to be had and how important Alice really is to the culture, because something like that I never saw on the screen. You know what I mean? And I feel like, you know, just even me portraying Alice, the fact that I got an opportunity to portray this Asian character, the fact that this network, this show gave an Asian girl an opportunity, we're opening minds already. My mom is now learning what LGBTQ stands for. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. she's being exposed to it. The more we show a scene like Alice coming out to her parents and her parents already knowing and being accepting, like, mm-hmm. that's gonna open up minds. That's gonna, you know, let Asian parents everywhere and immigrant parents and just closed-minded parents think, oh, maybe I can be open to that. Yeah. You know, because we never showed that, because that was not represented, because it was so lacking in TV and films, like, that's why the ignorance, the fear, it was perpetuated, mm-hmm. truthfully. And I can go on for days about this. But, like, yeah, it's because we didn't show it. We didn't see it.
Yeah.
Our parents didn't see it. That's why they're not used to it. That's why it's so foreign. But then the more we show these stories, the more everyone will just be open and kind of just and more accepting, really.
I think Alice Kwan, the character, is amazing. Like, if you were, let's say, in high school and middle school watching this person, you I feel like your mind would be changed.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I hope the two, you know, teenage Asian girls in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know what I mean,
with the root canal,
right, exactly, can watch Alice and feel seen and feel not alone. That's the whole point of TV, really. You know, it's like, it's interesting, you know, when we grew up, we had to relate to other things, you know, like, mm-hmm. I really loved watching Fresh Prince, because that was like something I enjoyed, because, and I did, and even Friends and all that stuff, you know, I watched Living Single, I watched like just everything that I wasn't in, mm-hmm. like, and I didn't even realize it, you know what I mean? Like, Ross, of course, had the Asian girlfriend, but that was really it, you know what
I
mean?
But then that's why you feel like you're limited, because you don't see that, but you're entertained, but then you're like, but I can never, it's not approachable,
it's out of sight, out of mind, truthfully, and it's, you know, it's like, now that the world has a taste, and now we realized how long it's been missing. Like, mm-hmm. we will not back down. Like, truthfully, this is not a trend. This whole, you know, progress of Asian Americans in TV and in film, and even, you know, music, you know, BTS out here, you know what I mean? And like Blackpink out here, yeah. you know, so hopefully even that grows a little more as well. Just being taken seriously mm-hmm. In entertainment is all we really want, to be telling these stories. Cause honestly, Asians are sexy. Asians are so funny. Asians are messy. Like, we're not perfect. We're not, you know, we're not just so prim and proper. You and I have been the opposite of that our whole life.
Our whole lives.
I have never fit the mold. Like, I graduated high school with a 2.5. You know what I mean? Like,
me too. I barely graduated.
Like, truthfully, and it's like, why fit into any box? That's always been my thing. Like, you can't just no limits, you know? Anyway, so pretty much I'm just excited to break more barriers. Yeah.
Well, I think we're very fortunate that because we grew up in LA and we were outsiders right. within our community, we somehow got lucky and found this.
Right.
And we're like, wow, I'm really passionate about this and I'm, you know, living my dreams. But there's so many people who are unlike us,
right.
who live in Tulsa, Oklahoma,
right.
and they're not near entertainment, you right. know, and they're just like, I don't know what I want to do. I'm getting a 2.5 in school. I don't want to be these things,
right.
but I have no other option. And
exactly.
I just think that's so devastating and sad for me. And that's why we do this podcast.
Yeah.
So we...
Yeah,
we
so there is
stories.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel
yeah.
for them, you know, like they can dream big
yeah.
and, you know, kind of... Yeah, it's so interesting because speaking of Tulsa, like just the, you know, everywhere we are lucky to be in LA because, you know, people are more open here and like,
yeah.
you know, with everything. Because even in Tulsa, I heard the word Oriental. Like people are still like, you know what I mean? Of course, I was an Uber driver and I told him, mm-hmm. I was like, hey, just so you know, we're not
yeah.
really using that anymore. Like it's really derogatory
yeah.
now, et cetera, et cetera. And he was open to it. He was like, he was an older
yeah,
gentleman.
Yeah.
But the point is, it's like, it's so interesting how different it is
mm-hmm.
elsewhere, you know?
Yeah.
So it's all so interesting, you know? I mean, slowly but surely.
Too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, in the inner, I feel like, I started acting when I was a teenager and the breakdowns of the roles were very like, she's the sidekick. She's
yeah.
the best friend. She is the nerd. And growing up, I always felt like that's what I could, those were my limits.
Right.
But then I was like, but I'm not, I don't feel like I don't connect with
right.
this story. I don't
right.
connect with this character because it's not who I am.
Right.
So now I see things. I'm like, oh, Constance Wu is a lead. And mm-hmm. you know, you see that and you're like, okay, this is possible. These stories are being told in a way where we're not the sidekick. We're not anyone's like,
right.
you know, we're not just a quota.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So that's why I love your character on Good Trouble.
Right.
It's really inspiring and empowering.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of like you. Like this
is yeah, it is very layered. And yeah, you're right. Because, well, originally, before I even went in for the role, like, it said, you know, aspires to be a stand-up comedian. It was like all these things. I was like, wow, this is, I can't believe someone wants to see this character. Someone wrote this character. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
that already meant a lot. But yeah, it does mirror my life a little bit because she, you know, obviously... is dabbling in stand up. So that's kind of fun too. In the second season, we explore that side of Alice where she's like, you know, she's constantly being taken advantage of a little bit. So she like expresses through humor, you know, just because she bottles emotions and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's on stage and kind of finding her voice. And you know, it's I'm not saying like I'm an amazing stand up in real life, but it is interesting pretending to be bad.
at stand-up. She's not very good at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because she's
oh.
just starting, you know. So she's like still kind of
right,
awkward.
Right. Okay.
So, which is really fun, you know. It's honestly such a dream of a character. And I just hope to yeah keep doing
and
more.
Alice is like also relatable within our community because she's very selfless and she puts
right.
everyone else first.
Very apologetic.
Very apologetic.
Yeah.
And that's how we're taught to be.
I mean, and you know, it's so interesting because I want so badly to break out of that. And I want us to be more vocal and like
yeah.
fight for
yeah.
what we believe in. You know, there's so many things that happen, even on social media. I sometimes battle with that as well. I'm a little too neutral sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I can be kind of, you know, not rock the boat,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, Switzerland, if you will. And but I'm like, no, I need to speak up. You know, for example, that situation in the Uber, when
mm-hmm.
the Uber driver used Oriental, I could have, you know, there's a world where I just like let it go. I'm
yeah.
like, okay.
He's
Oklahoma,
old. He does.
Right. It's fine. But then I was like, no, like I need to, you know, a little goes a long way. Let me
educate.
Tell him what's up. Yeah. And in a very nice manner. Yeah. I'm like, hey, just so you know. You know, and it's like speaking up in that way, just little by little. You know what I mean? It's just, it's, I feel like, you know, we, I don't know. It's interesting. You're right. That is a stereotype that I would love to break.
I feel conflicted too, because last week, actually, no, like 3 days ago, this was such an interesting situation, because I was, there was a line to pay a checkout, and this guy was like, no, you can go first. I was like, oh, thank you so much. And he said, you know, in Japan, men go first. And I was like, oh, I didn't hear what he said. Uh-huh. And he was like, I'm like, excuse me, sorry, what'd you say? And he was like, in Japan, women go last and men go first. And I was like, okay, thank you for letting me go first.
And this is a non-Asian. Probably happens to you a lot as well when they just say ni hao. And obviously we are Chinese, so like, but it's like, hello. Like, what do you, I don't, it's so weird. No, actually, you know what? I think they said, no. Okay, I was at Coachella, and literally, I don't know why this guy was just feeling frisky, but I just went through the metal detector. Uh-huh. He was one of the dudes checking wristbands, and he says, konnichiwa. And
I'm like, I can't do that.
What? Like, I am just, it's unfathomable. And I'm like, I don't get it. That's what I said. I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah. We don't
or
see,
I don't know
like-
what I said. And he was like, you not Japanese. I don't know what he said, but then I was like, I'm Chinese. And then he was like, even better. And I'm like, okay, literally, like.
But I just have to let it go. Do you have to let it go sometimes?
So frustrating.
Because you, yeah.
Well, my whole thing is like, I just want them to feel, I don't know. It's like, then it's a lot. It's a lot.
I never want to make them feel bad. If you're ignorant, then I'm going to help you. But if you're doing it for funny purposes, then I'm going to shut you down.
Right. And it's about, I mean? It's like, how do you know?
Yeah.
I don't, it's all case by case basis, dude, but it's very interesting. Like,
but it just triggers like back old memories.
Oh, 100%.
When we were little with our moms, with our parents.
Oh my God. It hurts.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. And it's like, I remember being so aware of my otherness, if you will, that like, you know, I, of course there was a bit of embarrassment when I was little, you know, and it's like, I hate myself for it. You know, I remember my mom, you know, picking me up from school and like getting out of the car, and I would see her, you know, Sherry. Share it. It was like, too. Oh my God. It was like, oh my God. You know, it was just like, oh, but like.
Or saying my Chinese name.
Yeah. Now I'm like so proud.
Yeah,
and like,
me too.
I just want to embrace it. I will dance on the street with my mom, you know, like, you know, whatever, do stuff. Like, it's just because when you're young, like, I don't know, you know. I remember in elementary school, like, kids who were non-Asian would call me Chino. Mm-hmm, and I'm like, they wouldn't even give me the, you know, the respect of China. You know what I mean? They won't even conjugate it, you know what I mean, to be female. But yeah, they would call me Chino. And I'm like, I just went with it, you know. It's so weird. I always try to figure out when it switched, where I was like, you know, F this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
I don't know when that switched. But back then I was very like, I just took it. You know what I mean?
Me
like,
too.
What am I going to do? I don't want to get beat up. People fought back then. I'm like, I'm not trying to get beat up.
That's why you were at the T bar with the cool kids that were gangsters.
I mean, it's a lot.
I don't know at what point I switched my mentality either. You know, I remember it was, you know, now looking back at it, I feel sick that I was embarrassed, you know?
Sure. Of course.
Yeah.
Literally, like. It's so interesting. Just so aware that my parents had broken English, or just so aware that, you know, we didn't have that much money. Like, it was just, you know, I was so surprised when I went to my friend's house and it was a house. I was like, oh, everyone doesn't just live in apartments. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because like, and I remember we had a beat up minivan. Like, it was just very, I don't know. It's just so interesting of this. Like, I am the other. I am a visitor in this country. I am not as worthy. I am, you know, all these things that, like, I remember there was, like, a Christmas play or whatever, or something that I did in kindergarten or like, first, second grade. Mm-hmm. And I remember the rule or whatever that was that parents needed to buy their child a present to bring to this event. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But we were so poor. Like, my mom, I remember she bought, like, this $5, like, plastic tea set from, like, 99 cents. I don't even know. And I remember, every single time I think about that, it makes me so emotional, you know? Because, like, she was just trying her best.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's, I could literally cry right now.
I know.
It's too much.
Me too.
Are we on the same cycle? I literally could cry. Like, it just makes me so emotional because they didn't know anything. Like, my mom did not know anything. And now just to be able to make her proud and have her come to this country not for no reason, you know, that's the whole purpose.
You are inspiring so many people. Like, you inspire me.
What am I doing? You know, I'm just, like, trying to make, you know, it's...
I wish I could tell your mom how proud I am of you.
No, we're just trying to represent truthfully and, like, really fully embrace our community because we were told that we weren't worthy for so long. We were put on the back burner. We were invisible. We were not prioritized. Right now, we are truly here to fight for what we deserve and kind of make up for lost time, you know? And I feel like as a community, it has not been stronger. Like, even as fellow Asian Americans, females in the game, like, we are so supportive now. And I feel like it's getting stronger and stronger, the sisterhood of, like, just putting competition behind us and more focused on empowering. And I feel like, you know, even things like this, just...
this conversation, connecting, you being here.
100%. So I'm excited. I'm excited for what's to come.
I know, me too. I'm so excited. I'm so happy that, you know, I don't feel alone. You know, I got you. Sure. I got so many other people that, like, but you're very special because I feel like you knew me for, since I was 16, I've known you.
That's insane.
Yeah. And it's just like, I am so proud of you. And I remember when I got an audition for Good Trouble for Alice.
Oh, right. You told me.
And I read the, I was reading, I was like, wait, dude, Sherry, she's gonna get this. I'm like, this is so perfect for her.
Man, that's nuts.
And then you did, and I was like, fuck yes. I was like, it couldn't have gone to a better person to represent this character.
That's so nuts, you know? And it's like, it really is a fate and, like, what's meant to be and, like, the stars aligning. Because, you know, I think about the roles that I didn't get. And, of course, there's so many rejections. We face so many rejections. We get so many no's that, like, oh, the reason why I didn't get that is because I was meant for this. Yeah. You know what I mean? So patience really is a thing. You know, nothing's overnight. And I'm truly never going to take for granted, you know, all the lucky opportunities I've gotten. And I just feel like I want to do more. You know, this, I'm just getting started. You know what I mean? So, really grateful to be Alice on Good Trouble and just, you know, excited for what's to come. And I can say the same about you as well. Cause I remember Vine, dude, you were like out here, boo. Like, I was like trying to get on Vine and I saw you doing the damn thing and you were the only Asian chick out there representing on Vine, which was, I mean, honestly, Vine was dope. And it was just self-made, these creatives kind of just doing it yourself. And that's the beauty of the internet, really, because it really is at your fingertips. You know, for example, Lil Tasty, it's like, sometimes people ask me like, do you have any advice? And there really is no path. There's no specific steps. Like, I was lucky that, I had Lil Tasty that went viral and that did open a few doors. You know what I mean? Like, even
the right doors.
Yeah.
Too.
And just doing stand up and stuff. But really, it's like putting yourself out there, you know, go take an improv class, go, content, it's literally at your fingertips. There's so many self-made people out there. And it really is up to you how much you want it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that, and living proof, you do it. Like, you did it. And that's, and I can't wait to see all the awesome things that you do.
Likewise, you know? Boo. Honestly, like, I'm so happy to have you as a peer, you know, a sister in the freaking game. So, yeah. Dude. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And because you came on the show and you're so fucked. And, you know, I got you this gift because I know on Instagram your bio is Hello Kitty stunt double.
That's so funny. So, no, she hasn't come after me yet.
Take that down.
Okay. Thank you, boo. I really don't know what's in here. Yeah. Cute socks.
Hello Kitty socks.
That's really freaking cute. Wait, this is like one of those makeup tutorials. Thank you, boo. Oh my god, this is so cute. I would definitely wear it. Sponsor me, Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty, Sanrio, sponsor her.
Seriously. I love Hello Kitty.
What if you play live action Hello Kitty?
Yo. Wait, like, did you see the musical, the Cats trailer? It would be like that. Like CGI, like.
Dude, everyone's like the Sanrio characters, like the green frog.
That's really intense.
That's really funny.
We have to pitch it. Okay, you heard it.
Let's do it. We were the ones that came up with this idea.
Hello Kitty.
Live action. They did Pikachu.
Yeah, you're right. Adorable, actually. Very fuzzy and adorable.
So cute.
Thank you, boo. Thank you so much.
Where can, of course. love you, dude. I
love you so much.
I love you. Hold
my
hand.
Hold my hand for the rest of my life.
I'm so happy you're on this.
When I'm on my deathbed, I want you here.
It's like a death grip.
But fish cheeks, though. I do remember fighting for the fish cheeks and fighting for the fish eyes.
Yeah, the fish eyes, too. So good. So slimy.
Oh, my God. We haven't even talked about food. I have to come back. We have so much to talk about. We could go on for like 5 hours.
We can, honestly, yeah. Food. Dude, fuck. You know,
pig intestines.
We send each other food.
Ugen Tangwang.
What's that?
Do you know the restaurant on San Gabriel called Indian?
No. Oh, yes, Taiwanese with Indian. Oh my God, it was so good. Oh, that was like such a cool hip restaurant. Is it still popular?
It's still, well, I go with my mom a lot.
Wait,
because,
you still go?
Yeah, I love the pork blood. And
wait, do you remember that old man with the white beard doing
commercials? He's still there. That's the owner, dude.
Yeah, remember those commercials that you'd see on those Chinese channels?
I think so.
Dude, that guy was like a player. He'd be like, it'd be him and then like six girls dressed up. And
it's like the Asian Hooters.
Dude, it is.
it really is.
It's called Indian.
It's kind of politically incorrect.
Yeah, but it's Taiwanese food. So freaking
just
good.
Asian restaurants that directly translate. I mean, my mom's restaurant is called Oriental Express Cafe. You know that.
I had no idea.
Dongfang Tequai.
Dongfang.
Oriental Express Cafe.
It is accurate.
Eastern. I mean, you get it. Anyway, the point is.
We're out here.
Yeah, the point is, leave a Yelp review. No, but yeah, I love food. We have to talk about, we have so much. Part two coming soon.
Dude, part two.
To be continued.
Yeah. Where can we find you?
Sherry Cola. Start with Instagram. Just look me up.
It's S-H-R-R-Y.
C-O-L-A. Yeah, the one with the E is taken.
There's no E. It's Sherry Cola.
Yeah, it's taken by some white lady in like Arkansas, but it's fine. She's active, so I can't take it from her.
You can't buy it from her.
Yeah.
Guys, please go follow her. I'm going to have all the descriptions, all the info about this person. And also I was gonna ask you guys, if there's any fan artwork out there, please draw a photo of her 5-year-old Sherry Cola chugging milk. I think that'd be so funny.
That's so dope.
Yeah, so if we get that, please
I would love some fan art, please.
Yeah.
Hashtag fish cheeks.
Hashtag hashtag fish cheeks, and then tag Sherry Cola, and
yes, I love you. Thank you.
Bye, guys.